Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Luke, Good News of Great Joy, by Lydia Brownback. Narrated by Susan Hanfield. Introduction. Getting into the Gospel of Luke. Good News of Great Joy. That's what the angel proclaimed to some astonished shepherds one dark night in Israel. The long-awaited Messiah, the Savior promised by God, had finally come. But as time went on, people were skeptical. This man Jesus wasn't the sort of Savior that people had been expecting. He was an ordinary man, the son of a carpenter. He could preach a good sermon, and yes, he was even able to heal diseases and deliver the demon-possessed. Even so, how could he actually be the long-awaited King of Kings that the prophets had foretold for centuries? Certainly any king sent by God would be a mighty warrior who'd instantly deliver God's people from their oppressors, right? But this Jesus was kind and gentle. He loved people and blessed them, even his enemies. And then he allowed himself to be mistreated and abused. And finally, he died the most shameful kind of death, crucifixion. Many claimed to see him after he died and was raised back to life, and some actually walked and talked with him then, and even joined him for a meal. So who is this Jesus? That's the question Luke answers in his gospel. But that's not all. He gives us way more than simple facts about Jesus. Luke shows us that we can believe in Jesus and entrust him with our very lives. And Jesus is worthy of our trust, as we will hear. The better we know him, the longer we walk with him, the more trusting and joy-filled we'll be. In fact, life with Jesus is characterized by joy. The good news of great joy that came to the shepherds has come to us, too. Who was Luke? Luke, the author of this gospel, was a well-educated man with a love of history. That's clear from his writing style and from the way he has structured the material he includes. Although Luke didn't know Jesus personally, he later traveled with the apostles and spent a lot of time with the Apostle Paul. This provided him the experience he needed to write not only his gospel, but also the book of Acts, which recounts how the apostles carried out the mission that had been entrusted to them by Jesus. From a few additional clues in the New Testament, we know that Luke was a doctor by profession. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. And his name Luke is Greek, so most likely he'd come into the family of God as a non-Jewish outsider, a Gentile. As we read his gospel, we can tell how carefully he gathered information and conducted interviews for his writing. It's likely that he used the earlier Gospel of Mark as one of his sources, and some of Luke's content indicates that he gathered information from Jesus' mother, Mary, as well. Luke shows, more than the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, that Jesus had a tender heart for women, and he valued their personhood. Luke also emphasizes Jesus' compassion for the lost and lonely. From the first announcement of his coming to his ascension into heaven, Jesus is at the center of everything. The songs are for his praise. The miracles are by his power. The teaching is from his wisdom. The conflict is over his claims, and the cross is that which only he could bear. Setting. The events in Luke's gospel take place in the land known as Canaan, the promised land of the Old Testament, that later became known as Palestine. The Roman Empire ruled the entire land during the events covered by Luke. And as we will hear, These Roman governing authorities were part of God's plan for all that takes place in this gospel. Jesus was raised in the town of Nazareth, and from there, he ministered all over the region surrounding the Sea of Galilee. Jerusalem, the most important city in the history of God's people, is the setting for the last and most important week of Jesus' life. Theme. We can summarize the theme of Luke very simply. Jesus is the be-all, end-all of everything. Studying Luke. In general, it's good practice to read through the entire Bible passage assigned for a given week before beginning work on the study. However, some weeks in our study, especially week 6, cover a lot of Luke's chapters. When you get to these, you might want to read the Bible passages a section at a time as you work through the lesson. However you choose to read through Luke, remember that marinating in the scripture text is the most important aspect of any Bible study. Group study. If you are doing this study as part of a group, you'll want to finish each week's lesson before the group meeting. You can work your way through the study questions all in one sitting or by doing a little bit each day. And don't be discouraged if you don't have sufficient time to answer every question. Just do as much as you can, knowing that the more you do, the more you'll learn. No matter how much of the study you are able to complete each week, the group will benefit simply from your presence, so don't skip the gathering if you can't finish. That being said, group time will be most rewarding for every participant if you have done the lesson in advance. If you are leading the group, you can download the free leader's guide at lydiabrownback.com/flourish-series. Individual study. The study is designed to run for 10 weeks, but you can set your own pace if you're studying solo. And you can download the leader's guide, lydiabrownback.com/flourish-series, if you'd like some help along the way. Reading plan. Week 1. Primary text. Luke chapter 1 verses 1 through chapter 2 verse 52. Supplemental reading. 1 Kings chapters 17 through 19. 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2. 2 Samuel chapter 7 verses 8 through 16. Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 5. Week 2. Primary text. Luke chapter 3 verses 1 through chapter 4 verse 15. Supplemental reading. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15. Week 3. Primary text. Luke chapter 4 verses 16 through chapter 6 verse 49. Supplemental reading. Leviticus chapter 13. Week 4. Luke chapter 7 verses 1 through chapter 8 verse 56. Supplemental reading. 1 Kings chapter 17 verses 17 through 24. Week 5. Primary text. Luke chapter 9 verses 1 through 50. Week 6. Primary text. Luke chapter 9 verses 51 through chapter 19 verse 27. Week 7. Primary text. Luke chapter 19 verses 28 through chapter 21 verse 38. Supplemental reading. Psalms 110, 118 verse 22, Zechariah chapter 9 verse 9. Week 8. Primary text. Luke chapter 22 verses 1 through 71. Supplemental reading. Exodus chapter 12 verses 1 through 14. Week 9. Primary text. Luke chapter 23 verses 1 through 56. Supplemental reading. Hebrews chapter 9 verses 1 through 14, chapter 10 verses 11 through 14. Week 10. Primary text. Luke chapter 24 verses 1 through 53. Week 1. Joy to the world. Luke chapter 1 verses 1 through chapter 2 verse 52. Luke wants us to overcome any doubts we might have about Jesus, the God-man who came to save people from their sins. He is eager to help us experience the joy Jesus brings to all who trust in him. Even so, Luke doesn't begin his gospel with Jesus. He begins with John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. More accurately, he actually begins his story with the mothers of John and Jesus, before these two boys were even born. And then after John and Jesus are born, Luke gives us exclusive glimpses into Jesus' childhood, stories we find only in his gospel. 1. It really happened. Luke chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. Luke wrote his gospel for a specific reason and addressed it to a particular person, a man named Theophilus. We don't know anything about this man, but in those days anyone referred to as most excellent, Luke chapter 1 verse 3, was someone highly respected. Where did Luke get the information for his gospel? What reason does Luke give for writing this gospel? 2. A long wait. Over at last. Luke chapter 1 verses 5 through 25. A godly older couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, knew the painful ache of infertility. The child they'd always longed for hadn't come, although they'd never stopped hoping and praying for a baby. In the meantime, they trusted God and served him faithfully. But a day came when everything changed. What do we learn in this passage about the angel who spoke to Zechariah? List the details given by the angel in Luke chapter 1 verses 13 through 17 about the child that will come to Zechariah and Elizabeth. What is so special about this child? Gabriel tells Zechariah that his child will one day carry out a powerful and effective ministry in the spirit and power of Elijah. Luke chapter 1 verse 17. Elijah was one of the best known Old Testament prophets. You can read about him in 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19 and 2 Kings chapters 1 and 2. But Gabriel isn't just making a comparison here. He's revealing something amazing. This special child was spoken about 400 years earlier by the prophet Malachi. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Malachi chapter 4 verses 5 and 6. Can you see Malachi's prophecy reflected in the angel's promise to Zechariah? This baby, who grows up to become John the Baptist, was sent to get people ready for the coming Messiah. That was the whole point of his ministry. The Angel Gabriel. Angels like Gabriel are God's messengers. Gabriel is one of only two in the Bible to be named. The other is Michael. Gabriel brings a message to Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, and returns to visit him in swift flight, Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. When Gabriel brings Zechariah God's message here in Luke, we learn that Gabriel stands in the presence of God, and Gabriel is also the angel who explains to Mary that she will bear the Son of God. Why was Zechariah unable to speak after his encounter with Gabriel? And where do we see evidence of this in his conversation with the angel? 3. Nothing is impossible for God. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. When Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, quietly rejoices over the baby growing in her womb, her relative Mary receives a visit from the angel Gabriel. She too, like Zechariah before her, is promised a son. And just like Zechariah, she's a bit distressed at first. After all, Mary is young, probably 13 or 14, and not yet officially married, although she was engaged to a man named Joseph. List from Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, the five things Gabriel tells Mary about the son she will bear. 1. 2. 3. 4. 5. It's likely that Mary had grown up hearing about the history of her Jewish ancestors. If so, she would have heard that the most famous one of all, the great Old Testament King David, had been promised an heir who would one day restore freedom and peace to God's people and rule the world forever with power and love. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. If Mary knew of this promise, no wonder she was utterly shocked by Gabriel's words. This long-awaited king is to be her son. Joy note. Elizabeth is promised joy as God ends her barrenness and unfolds his plans for this long-awaited son. Luke chapter 1, verse 14. God's answers to our prayers are meant to bring joy. How does the angel answer Mary's question about how she'll conceive this special baby? And how does Mary respond? Learning from Gabriel that her older relative Elizabeth is also carrying a baby, Mary hurries to visit her. What happens when Mary enters Elizabeth's home? And what does Elizabeth say to Mary? After hearing Elizabeth's joyful words, the amazed Mary can't help but break out in praise and worship. The song she sings, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55, is called the Magnificat because her lyrics magnify the Lord. What reasons does she give in Luke chapter 1, verses 48 and 49 for her rejoicing? Something we will see in Luke is how God reverses things. He turns things around and does the unexpected. God does this to show human beings that he controls everything and everyone. What reversals do you see in Mary's song? At the end of her song, Mary comes back to the wonder of the baby she is carrying, and that this child is the fulfillment of God's longtime promise going all the way back to David's ancestor Abraham. What does Luke chapter 1, verse 54 reveal about God's purpose for this baby? 4. A very happy day. Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. At long last, Elizabeth gives birth to a son. Friends and family rejoice, And, as was the custom in those days, they all come together 8 days later for the baby's circumcision, which marked the child as belonging to God and his people Israel. Those gathered for the ceremony assume the boy will be named for his father, Zechariah. But Elizabeth tells them no. The boy's name will be John. Months before, Zechariah's unbelief had closed his ears and tongue. Luke chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. What act of faith opens them back up again here? How do friends and relatives respond to the naming of the baby, and what happens to Zechariah? Luke tells us that Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit, which lets us know that the words he's about to say are a prophecy from the Lord. The same thing happened with Elizabeth back in Luke chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. Although Zechariah is rejoicing over the birth of his son, his heart is even more captivated by his promise-keeping God. Zechariah praises or blesses God because he has visited and redeemed his people. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Zechariah is speaking here not of his own son John, but of the son Mary will bear, Jesus. He is the horn of salvation, raised up from the line of King David. Luke chapter 1, verse 69. He is the one foretold long ago by the prophets. According to the remaining verses in Zechariah's prophecy, what will this horn of salvation accomplish for God's people? Luke chapter 1, verse 71. Luke chapter 1, verses 72 and 73. Luke chapter 1, verses 74 and 75. After rejoicing in God's goodness to his people, Zechariah begins talking about his own son, John. What does he foretell about John in Luke chapter 1, verses 76 and 77? The Savior is coming, and God wants people to know. And that's what God has in mind for John, to get people ready for Jesus. What does the imagery in Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79 reveal about this Savior to come? 5. The Lord has come. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Here, for the first time, we meet Joseph, the man Mary is engaged to marry. An engagement or betrothal in those days was almost as binding as an actual marriage. Joseph takes Mary, now supernaturally pregnant with a promised child, to his hometown of Bethlehem, which had also been the hometown of the great Old Testament King David. Luke wants us to notice the connection to King David here. It's actually an important part of the story. Traveling wasn't easy in those days, especially for a pregnant woman, but the government had issued a decree that required them to make the trip at this inconvenient time. The government seemed to be directing the course of Joseph and Mary, but actually it was God. He was the one guiding all these circumstances to fulfill a promise he'd made long ago, that Mary's baby, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And sure enough, Mary went into labor while they were there. The town was so crowded with visitors that lodging was hard to find, and they had no choice but to deliver Mary's baby among farm animals, in uncomfortable and unsanitary conditions. Joy note. The shepherds are promised that the arrival of Jesus is meant to bring joy to all people. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Turning to Jesus for salvation is the path to increasing joy that never ends. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Meanwhile, a gathering of on-duty shepherds was spending the night in an open field under the stars. Suddenly, an angel appeared, frightening them out of their wits. What did the angel tell the shepherds? What did the shepherds do and say after this heavenly encounter? Everything we know about the birth of Jesus points to obscurity, indignity, pain, and rejection. One of the great mysteries of the universe is that when God the Son became a man, he spent his first night in a barn. 6. Worth waiting for. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. 40 days later, Mary and Joseph take the baby Jesus up to the temple in Jerusalem to dedicate him to the Lord. This ceremony was a requirement under Jewish law for all firstborn sons. While Mary and Joseph are there, they encounter two people in the temple, a man named Simeon and an elderly woman, Anna. Both have been watching and waiting for this miracle baby. What does Simeon prophesy about the baby Jesus and about Mary? What does Anna do when she discovers the baby Jesus? 7. A wise boy. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 52. Luke is the only gospel writer to give us a glimpse of Jesus as a boy. It's here that we see Jesus thrive both physically and spiritually, and that the hand of God is watching over him. When Jesus is 12 years old, he makes a decisive change in the way he relates to his family. What choice does Jesus make that distresses and baffles his parents? Here in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, and also back in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, Luke tells us that Mary treasured in her heart the happenings in and around her son. What does this seem to convey about Mary? Let's talk. 1. Zechariah was unable to hear or speak for several months because he doubted God's word. But God disciplined him in a way that taught him to trust. This is something God often does, and it is always a mercy when he does it. He uses the hard experience of suffering to teach us to trust in him. Describe a time in your life when God used a painful circumstance to deepen your faith. 2. What emotions most characterize the people in these opening chapters as they experience startling changes and unexpected circumstances? Consider Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, the shepherds, Simeon, and Anna. How has your relationship with the Lord most notably impacted you? Consider not just emotions, but also thoughts, decisions, and circumstances. 3. Anna's life was reshaped at a young age by the death of her husband. How has God worked in some unexpected circumstance to reshape your life? How have you tended to respond to the Lord's unexpected and perhaps unwanted providences? Week 2. Get ready. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through chapter 4, verse 15. Zechariah and Elizabeth's son, John, is now a full-grown man, and he's ready to carry out the special ministry he's been destined for, getting people ready for the arrival of the long-awaited Savior. John soon becomes well-known as he travels around telling people about Jesus, who he is, and what he will do. But then John is unjustly thrown in prison, and he fades into the background so that Jesus takes center stage. As Luke brings Jesus to the forefront, we soon discover that Jesus is no
Sample complete. Ready to continue?